Welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of The Law of Self-Defense. I am, of course, attorney Andrew Branca for The Law of Self-Defense with a jacked up voice. Haven't spoken much today to anybody yet, just been by myself in the office and didn't realize I sounded quite like this. But nevertheless, the show must go on. Today, we are here to talk about this event. This was a shooting that occurred in Ohio, I believe Akron, the first of this month. So April 1st, 2024. And we have some body-worn camera revealed, released from the body-worn camera of the officer who fired the shot in this case. Generally, what happened is this officer received a call that a man was walking around in a residential neighborhood. You see it here in the thumbnail, pointing a gun at houses. So he responds, sees a suspect, begins to verbally engage with the suspect. And the suspect then displays what appears to be a real gun in his hand. And the officer fires a single shot, a single round, and hits the suspect in the hand. Turns out that the suspect's gun was, in fact, a toy, not a real gun. And I apologize, I haven't had much luck finding a good picture of it. Whoops, don't want to do that. Let me see if I can do a better job. I'll do one last quick search. Well, I do see that the family is calling for justice. Of course. See if this news report. Oh, they do have a picture of the gun. All right. So I'll be able to share all of that with you. Whoops. There we go. Glad I came across that. Let me set this up. And then we'll go ahead and launch into the formal start of today's show. There we go. And back to StreamYard. Okay, folks. So with that out of the way, let's go ahead with the formal launch of today's Law of Self-Defense show. Well, my little thumbnail video didn't work correctly. I guess I messed that up. In any case, today's show is brought to you by Law of Self-Defense itself in the form of our best-selling book, The Law of Self-Defense Principles, your guide to being hard to convict if you're ever compelled to use force in defense of yourself, your family, or your property. Check it out on Amazon, 5-star rated bestseller in its category, but don't buy it on Amazon. They'll charge you $20 or $25 for the book, plus shipping and handling. We'll give you the book for free. We only ask that you cover the cost of shipping the book to you. Learn more about that at lawofselfdefense.com/freebook. lawofselfdefense.com/freebook. And I'll leave that link under my name here on the screen as we continue forward. So this case first came to my attention via this tweet on X from an account called Anti-Commie. Ohio police fired at 15-year-old holding toy gun. Ohio's an open carry state. Anti-Commie wants to know if we have any thoughts. And I have the video here. All the action happens in the first, 8 seconds of the video. So it's very quick. Then there is some additional context. There's another 3 minutes or so of video where the suspect's being handcuffed and then unhandcuffed and then getting a tourniquet and so forth. But I think first we'll just watch the first critical 8 minutes and then discuss from there. Where is my video? Here it is. So in the little brief 10 seconds I'll show you right now, or so 15, 20 seconds, maybe, there's no gore. But later in the video, which I won't show right now, but I'll show later in the show, we do see some blood. So just a heads up. Here, all we'll see is a single shot being fired by the police officer. Let me make myself smaller here. And here, let's see. Here we go. Starting in a moment.
Where are you coming from? Can I see your hands real quick? Oh, shit!
Hey, hey,
shit.
Hey, it's fake! It's
shots
fake.
Fired! Shots fired!
It's fake! It's fake! It's fake! It's fake! It's fake!
Shots fired!
It's
drop
fake.
To the ground! Drop to the ground!
It's fake.
Drop to the ground!
It's fake!
Drop to the
it's
ground!
Fake.
Drop to the ground!
It's fake! It's fake!
Okay, so it's fake! It's fake! It's fake! What did this gun actually look like? Well, it looked like this. So, of course, on close examination, it doesn't look all that real. But I'm sure most of us have seen this meme. Well, come on, where is it? I just had it. I don't know where it went, but that's okay. I can grab it real quick once more. This meme has been making the rounds on the internet for some years. Here we go. Quick, which one is a BB gun? Oops, too late. You're dead. That's how much time the cops have to make that call on whether or not they're going to be shot. Now, presumably, we don't really see the shot per se. Or rather, our view of the suspect is blocked by the door here. The cop's getting out. Shots fired right about there. So we can't see the suspect's hands, but presumably the suspect had the gun in hand. As soon as we clear the door, we can see. Well, we can see from my thumbnail image. There's the gun there on the ground. That looks like this in real life. So presumably the suspect had gun in hand. Maybe when the cop rolled up, he kind of had it to his side away from the cop, so it was not visible. And then when the suspect turned, the cop saw the gun. Remember, the cop's responding to a man walking around this neighborhood with a gun in hand. Nice residential neighborhood. And that's when the cop fires the single shot. Now, in some of the comments I've seen, well, you know, these cops are going crazy. Ohio is an open carry state. And if Ohio is an open carry state, that means you're allowed to walk around in public with a gun. And that's true. But it doesn't privilege you to do other things with the gun. The fact that you're allowed to open carry doesn't mean it's lawful to brandish the gun in a threatening manner or point it at homes or point it at people. All of those would be unlawful uses of a firearm, completely independent of whether or not Ohio is an open carry state or not. The only difference with open carry is you wouldn't get charged with a gun carry charge, in addition to the brandishing or whatever that you got hit with, because the carry itself might be legal. And here we have the suspect carrying with a gun in hand. If you're walking in your neighborhood on a sidewalk, public sidewalk, with a gun in your hand, that's always going to look threatening to people. That's not normal. I carry a gun every day. Now, I carry concealed, although Colorado is an open carry state as well. I'm not a fan of open carry. I think it's generally a bad idea if concealed carry is available as an option. So I carry concealed, but I don't walk around my neighborhood with a gun in my hand. That would be crazy. It would be understandable that people would be fearful of that happening. So the fact that Ohio is open carry doesn't mean that you get to engage in threatening behavior. And your behavior doesn't have to be genuinely threatening. In other words, you don't have to actually have malice that you're going to do something bad to somebody. They just have to reasonably perceive that that's the case. And if nothing else, then the cops get called. Now, is it possible that, you know, in some parts of Ohio or Colorado for that matter, now my local grocery store here in Colorado, I see people open carrying in there all the time. All the time. And we're a suburb of Denver. So we're not in the backwoods here. Is it possible that some newly moved here Karen from California, and we're awash in California license plates here in Colorado, might see some dude who's apparently not a cop in plain clothes, just open carrying in a nylon holster in King Supers down the frozen food aisle and panic? And call the cops? Sure. Of course that's possible. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened. Because there's a big cultural difference between gun ownership in Colorado and gun ownership in states like California or New York or New Jersey or Maryland, the fascist gun control state communities. In those states, many of the people from those states, they see a gun, it may as well be a live rattlesnake in the frozen food aisle. That's how they're going to respond. Now, what about the fact that it turns out this gun was fake? Turns out to be a toy. Does that matter for purposes of this officer's use of force? And the answer is no, so long as the gun could reasonably be perceived as being real. And remember, you only have a split second to make that call. The cop does. So, we're not required to make perfect decisions in self-defense. We're required to make reasonable decisions in self-defense. So, if in that split second, this could reasonably be perceived as a real gun in hand of a suspect, and remember, the cops responding to a call that a suspect matching this description is walking around pointing a gun at homes in this community. That's not lawful. And then he gets there. And the suspect matching the description turns around with a gun in his hand. That's an excellent way to get yourself shot. And in fact, it happens with some frequency. So I have some slides here. We can talk some actual law. This is from my presentation at the Colorado Public Defender's Office annual meeting last year. The one that got me banned forever, made persona non grata by the Colorado Public Defender's Office, despite the fact that the only reason they invited me to the conference to speak was because I managed to get one of their indigent clients charged with murder acquitted of all charges. And I did it for free. That's why I was invited to speak at their conference. But then they didn't apparently like the actual law and legal principles I shared with them. One of these, of course, is the five elements of self-defense. I'm not going to go through all of these here, but we'll focus on the element of reasonableness, which has both a subjective and an objective component. So for someone's use of force to be justified, let's focus here on deadly defensive force. They have to have had a genuine good faith subjective belief to act in self-defense as they did. But this subjective belief, however genuine and held in good faith, is not enough by itself. That subjective belief also has to be objectively reasonable, meaning a hypothetical, reasonable, and prudent person would have shared that subjective belief. So in a rational, speculative, bare fear, panicked belief might be completely genuine subjectively, but might not be objectively reasonable. And if you don't have both, subjective reasonableness and objective reasonableness, you don't have the element of reasonableness, and that is one of the required elements of self-defense. So you don't have self-defense as a legal defense if you don't have either half of reasonableness. You must have both. Just reflected here in some Colorado law, this is Colorado's self-defense statute 18-1-704. Of course, this shooting occurred in Ohio, so I'll share Ohio law with you as well. But of course, these are the slides from my Colorado Public Defender's Office presentation. So they reflect Colorado law. A person is justified in using physical force upon another person in order to defend himself from what he reasonably believes to be the use or imminent use of unlawful physical force by that other person. By the way, notice that reasonably believes appears multiple times, even in just this single sentence. And then when we get to the provision for deadly physical force, it reads deadly physical force may be used only if a person reasonably believes a lesser degree of force is inadequate and the actor has reasonable ground to believe and does believe that he is in imminent danger of being killed or receiving great bodily injury. So does believe is the subjective reasonableness. Has reasonable ground to believe is the objective reasonableness. There's some evidence from which you can make a reasonable inference that you're facing a deadly force threat. It's not just a speculative, imaginative, panicked, irrational, subjective belief. So it is not necessary that the defender be correct in this belief. Again, we're not required to make perfect decisions in self-defense. We're only required to make reasonable decisions in self-defense. Self-defense is allowed against a reasonably perceived threat. And it's rather shocking how often criminal suspects are wielding fake or replica or airsoft or BB gun versions of pistols that are indistinguishable in the moment from an actual functional firearm. And then when they encounter law enforcement, they have a poor use of force outcome. We've got a couple example cases here. This one I used in this Colorado Public Defender's Office conference because it had just happened weeks earlier, prior to the conference, in Denver, Colorado. Jordell Richardson, 14 years old, had the gun on the left here, a simulated H&K firearm. And there's a picture of the real version of that gun on the right. In the moment, especially at night, easy to see how the fake gun on the left would be reasonably be perceived as the real gun on the right. He was killed, Jordell Richardson. An unnamed juvenile, 15 years old. Notice the ages. This is from California. Had happened also just a few weeks before I spoke at the Colorado Public Defender's Office conference. That 15-year-old had the gun on the left. A Glock 19X, actually a BB gun. But it's indistinguishable. Even if you have time to look, it's really indistinguishable from most angles from the actual working firearm, Glock 19X, which is pictured on the right there. Excuse me. Tamir Rice, this was a very high-profile case, 13 years old. Cleveland, Ohio. Another Ohio case, November 2014, so almost 10 years ago now. He was walking around a park, a snowy park, pointing that upper gun at people walking around the park, and they called the police. And the police responded, pulled up in their patrol car, much like the case here, where they pulled up within a few feet of Tamir Rice, and he reached for that apparent gun in his waistband. And the police shot him and killed him. It would later, of course, be determined that the gun on top, again, was a BB gun. But there's the real gun on the bottom there. And the chief of police of Cleveland, Ohio, himself African-American. And by the way, all these examples happen to be African-American suspects, which is why one of the reasons the Colorado Public Defender's Office said they never wanted to work with me again. Sorry, I didn't make these suspects do these things, but nevertheless, I guess it's impolite to mention it. But the Cleveland, Ohio chief of police himself said in a press conference, these two guns were indistinguishable. That Tamir's Rice was indistinguishable from a real gun. So the Colorado Public Defender's Office was very upset with me. Their head of statewide training, she sent me a mean letter. This is the letter. I'm not going to go over the whole letter here. But she wrote with reference to some of those shootings, your position that the police murders of Tamir Rice and Jordell Richardson and the shooting of an unnamed Hispanic child were justified because these children, by the way, 13, 14, and 15-year-olds murder each other on the streets of Chicago, Detroit, by the score every week. So the fact that people are children Doesn't mean they're not murderers or potential murderers. That they can't represent a deadly force threat. Your position that the murders of these children, because these children were holding toy guns, is not just offensive. It is legally and morally untenable. Remember, this is the head of training for the Colorado Public Defender's Office. My assertion that all that's required is a reasonable, even if mistaken, perception that they're holding a real gun, that they're threatening with a real gun. That is, according to the head of training of the Colorado Public Defender's Office, legally and morally untenable. Your assertion that these officers' actions were legally justified self-defense because they had formed a mistaken but reasonable belief the three children posed a lethal threat to them. In so doing, you ignored the structural, systemic racism woven into the fabric of this country, the historical encouragement of governmental, private, and police abuses against the BIPOC community. I don't remember what the B, I guess, Black Indigenous People of Color. Is that what BIPOC stands for? I'm not trained in this race hate speech code. And the dehumanization of minoritized people that continues unabated in this country, this history and current environment, are the reasons those officers were not held liable for their action, not a mistaken but reasonable use of force in self-defense. And calling the shooting a justified use of force, you inflicted racial harm on the Black and brown public defenders present at the conference who were listening to my talk, as well as the broader BIPOC community by perpetuating that narrative. Okay. So my characterization of the law as being that a reasonable, if mistaken, belief is sufficient for self-defense justification is mistaken, is legally untenable, according to the head of training of the Colorado Public Defender's Office. Unfortunately for her, Colorado law actually agrees with me. Here's a Colorado Supreme Court decision, Young v. People. It is fundamental that the law of self-defense, which is emphatically a law of necessity, involves the question of one's right to act upon appearances, even though such appearances may prove to have been deceptive. Also, the question of whether the danger is actual or only apparent, and as well the fact that actual danger is not necessary in order to justify one in acting in self-defense. Apparent necessity, if well-grounded and of such a character as to appeal to a reasonable person under like conditions and circumstances as being sufficient to require action in self-defense, justifies the application of the doctrine of self-defense to the same extent as actual or real necessity. Now, you might say, Andrew, that's a Colorado Supreme Court decision from 1910, more than 100 years ago. Well, we have more recent case law, makes the same point. People v. Lavoie, Colorado Supreme Court, 1964. Person assailed may act on appearances. When a person has reasonable grounds for believing and does in fact believe, so that's objective reasonableness and subjective reasonableness, that danger of his being killed or of receiving great bodily harm is imminent, he may act on such appearances and defend himself, even to the extent of taking human life when necessary, although it may turn out that the appearances were false, or although he may have been mistaken as to the extent of the real or actual danger. And current Colorado statute, self-defense statute 18-1704, we already saw this earlier, but I'll repeat it here. A deadly physical force may be used only if a person reasonably believes. It doesn't say is facing. The actor has reasonable ground to believe and does believe, again, objective and subjective reasonableness, that he is in imminent danger of being killed or receiving great bodily injury. It doesn't say that the actor is in imminent danger of being killed or of receiving great bodily injury, only that he has reasonable ground to believe and does believe. Colorado jury instruction simply reflects the same language as in the statute. And I had promised you some Ohio law. This is Ohio criminal jury instruction 421.19. And by the way, this is the law in every state. So the language you see is very similar. Self-defense against danger of death or great bodily harm. To establish a claim of self-defense, And this is the instruction the jury receives. The defendant must prove by the greater weight of the evidence that he had reasonable grounds to believe and an honest belief. So, objective and subjective reasonableness, even if mistaken, that he was in imminent danger of death or great bodily harm. I should point out, I'd forgotten this. This is an older jury instruction. So it says that the defendant must prove by the greater weight of the evidence, by preponderance of the evidence. Ohio was the last state that put the burden of persuasion on self-defense on the defendant to prove self-defense by 51% of the evidence, a preponderance of the evidence. That changed a few years ago, and Ohio joined all other 49 states that put the burden of persuasion, persuading the jury of the truth of the argument, put the burden of persuasion on self-defense on the prosecution to disprove self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt, is the current law. But again, for our purposes here, as long as you have a objectively and subjectively reasonable belief in the need to act in self-defense, that's sufficient to justify your use even of deadly force, even if your belief was mistaken, so long as it is reasonable. So I do want to go through the rest of the video. In fact, I'll just start it from the beginning because we're only a little bit into it. But let me take a look and see if we have any questions or comments from the Law of Self-Defense members that need to be addressed. Or if you're watching on YouTube, if you'd like me to address your questions or comments there, you can just make it a YouTube super chat, but it needs to be a $10 minimum super chat. Or preferably, you could just become a Law of Self-Defense member for 99 cents, get all your questions answered for free. Your call. You can try out our Law of Self-Defense membership for a 2-week trial membership for 99 cents, folks. And if you stay a member, it's still dirt cheap. It's only about 30 cents a day, less than $10 a month for an entire month of Law of Self-Defense membership and getting your questions answered for free. So let me, I have to open up my own Law of Self-Defense member dashboard. And somewhat awkwardly, it's asking me to log in. And of course, I don't remember my own password, but I'll look it up. I don't know why it asks me. I mean, I log in all the time. Okay, let's see. Go to the member dashboard. I, of course, am a platinum member. The live show video chat for our members. And here we go. It's loading up. Kevin Jameson. Kevin, how are you? My good friend. Kevin is a excellent criminal defense attorney out in Missouri. He writes, Andrew, if you intend to flee Colorado, I can get you political asylum in Missouri. There's a lawyer near me who does motorcycle law and another who writes for a motorcycle magazine. I'll suggest it to my wife, Kevin. We have a lot of travel scheduled this summer to visit a lot of different cities around the country that we're considering for our definite move out of Colorado. The commies, outright commies, I mean, literal commies, have taken over the Colorado legislature with the with predictable result. Let's see. Phil says, I never open carry in social situations. I open carry while working on my own property. Lots of bears and wolves around, along with the occasional cougar. I also open carried in backcountry Alaska. But then most everyone who was out salmon fishing did so. Yeah, so that's really a hunting type scenario there. Zakuza said, I had toy guns as a kid, but I never walked the streets with it. I think probably lots of people when they were kids. I mean, it was not unusual in my day for us to be playing with real looking fake guns. And we probably could have stupidly found ourselves in a very similar situation. Although I'd like to think we'd be smart enough that if we were approached by a patrol car or a uniformed cop, we'd make sure that gun was not apparent, or dump it or whatever was necessary not to get ourselves shot. Yep, Jeffrey mentions just like the Tamir Rice case. Yeah, I talked about that. Phil says, full disclosure, in Alaska, I was normally carrying either a pump shotgun or a 338 Magnum rifle. Yeah, they got big bears up there. I wouldn't want to be defending myself with a 9mm against a grizzly. Let's see. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Jeffrey said, but you made gun rights group happy by selling the t-shirt they demanded. Yeah, part of the letter. So, I got their public defender's client, their indigent client, acquitted of murder, manslaughter, and reckless homicide for free. I didn't charge a penny for it. I mean, conveniently, it was nearby. It was in Colorado Springs, which is only about half an hour from my office. But I had to appear in court 3 days. Once to be voir dired as an expert, and of course accepted as an expert on self-defense law by the court, and then 2 days to testify before the jury and be subject to cross-examination by the state like any other expert witness. And I got that great outcome, acquitted of all charges. And the defense lawyer, lead counsel, of course I was consulting. I was not lead counsel on the case. I was not an attorney of record on the case. I was just a legal expert consultant for the case. The lead counsel, who was a great guy, seems very sharp, young public defender. He used my slides in his closing argument to the jury. Some of the slides I just showed you earlier, which he didn't ask me, but it's fine. It's fine. But anyway, so that's what got me invited to speak at the Colorado Public Defender's Office. Again, for free. I paid my own travel expense. This was north of Denver. I'm south of Denver. So it was some travel time, and then I had to stay in a hotel overnight because I was the first speaker in the morning, and I wanted to make sure I wouldn't have any issues getting there in a timely manner with traffic going through Denver. So I didn't ask for any travel compensation. But what they did give me was a t-shirt. I guess every speaker was given a t-shirt. When they sent me their mean letter, they demanded that I return the t-shirt to them. But instead of doing that, we did a dedicated show on this event with the Colorado Public Defender's Office. I read the entire letter, and then we auctioned off the t-shirt live on a live stream, and we collected $1,700. And we sent that money to the California Rifle and Pistol Association, which does great work on Second Amendment advocacy out there. I know a number of the attorneys who work with them. I've read their briefs on live streams many times. So yeah, that was cool. Robert says, could an officer rely on a report that a suspect had pointed gun at Holmes, or would he need to see some form of brandishing? No, he needs to see some kind of imminent threat, right? At least an apparent imminent threat. You can't pull up in your cruiser and shoot someone because earlier in the day they might have been pointing a gun at Holmes. That would not be sufficient. But of course, that report, the circumstances, frame how the officer frames his state of mind when he's approaching the suspect, right? It's not a cat in a tree call. It's a suspect matching this description as walking around pointing a gun at Holmes. So obviously a more serious call. Let's see. Phil says, are lawyers, legal professional groups, as well as activists in Colorado, actively working to overturn self-defense in Colorado? I've been told by the leadership of the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Group, I think RMGO, that they anticipate that the commie legislature will try to do away with Colorado's, what they call their Make My Day law. They're a very aggressive home defense law that essentially holds that if the conditions of the Make My Day statute are met, meaning someone's unlawfully in your home for purposes to commit harm to anybody in the home, it doesn't matter how much harm they're threatening. It could be non-deadly force harm. You're still privileged to use deadly force in self-defense. So it's a remarkable statute, the only one of its kind in the country. There are a lot of states that will create a legal presumption that you're facing a deadly force threat Generally, those presumptions are rebuttable. Colorado is saying you don't need to be facing a deadly force threat. We don't need to be presuming it. It's just not a condition of deadly defensive force. If the other party meets the conditions of the Make My Day statute. So RMGO tells me, the leadership there tells me, they anticipate the Colorado legislature will attempt to repeal that provision, which would be obviously a step backwards, a big step backwards for defensive, highly defensible property in Colorado. What we are seeing a lot of is a bunch of typical California, New York State type gun laws. Safe storage, assault weapons ban, which is capturing like tons of pistols will be captured under this ban as well. I'm told that something like 75% of guns owned in Colorado will be captured by this quote unquote assault weapons ban. No carry in churches is another bill that's working its way through the legislature. And the Democrats have a supermajority, or at least to have a majority in both the House and the state Senate. And of course, the governor of Colorado is a Democrat as well. He's previously said that he believes like the assault weapons ban is unconstitutional. But we'll have to see how he feels about it when the bill actually lands on his desk. So, yeah. So if I wanted to live under New York and California gun laws, I'd go live in New York or California. I don't have a problem with New York and California generally, except for their taxes and their gun laws. But if Colorado's going to adopt New York and California style gun laws, then I'm out. And this was a discussion I had with my wife when we first moved here 6-7 years ago, because there's a lot to like about Colorado, especially if you live in a nice neighborhood. The mountains are right here. Great for motorcycle riding. Best motorcycle riding in the world is in the Colorado Rocky Mountains, as far as I'm concerned. And I've ridden much of the world on a motorcycle. And I was like, yeah, this is great. This is fine. I don't really, for the most part, care where I live. I could live anywhere for purposes of my work. My wife's family is in Denver, so it was nice for her to move back from Boston and be close to her family. But we had the conversation. I'll be happy to stay here as long as they don't go crazy with their gun laws. And that's what they've done. They've gone crazy with their gun laws. So what about open carrying like an AR? Well, I can tell you that if I'm like in a Starbucks and it's an open carry state and somebody walks in with a slung AR, they've got 100% of my attention, because that's just not normal behavior. You don't typically see that. And active shooters are a thing. So they would have 100% of my attention. How much more would you need to see? I mean, someone walks in with an AR and on a 1-point sling on the front of their body and they're resting their hands on the controls. You don't have to go far from there to being reasonably be perceived as doing something reckless or threatening with that AR. I mean, slung across the back, I certainly wouldn't use force against anybody just because they had a rifle slung across their back, but they'd have 100% of my attention. I probably wouldn't hang around. I wouldn't hang around if my wife and kids were with me. Let's see. Denver says, now my son just turned 21 and applied for his concealed carry in Colorado. I've been exposing him to Andrew for years. I hope it stuck. Yeah, I hope it stuck too. Denver says, wherever Andrew moves to, it would have to be far from railroad tracks. Yeah, so any of you who are new to my shows, we have this 2-year lease on this office that I'm sitting in, which is expiring this summer. And we're definitely not going to renew, because after we moved in, we discovered that there's a firehouse just a couple blocks away, and there's a train crossing where they blow the whistle for the train. The engineer is very, very fond of his whistle. And for whatever reason, the noise comes right through the windows here. I don't know if there's something wrong with the windows, but this morning we actually had the fire alarms, the fire trucks, and the train going by simultaneously before the show started. So, yeah, I would like to move to a place that did not have those sound issues. Let's see. Denver says the Colorado gun law bills expire on May 8th if they're not voted on by the Senate committee and then to governor for signing. SCOTUS has approved cert for numerous gun laws that will impact Colorado gun laws. The betting is heavy on ruling they're unconstitutional. Yeah, I think they'll all be found to be unconstitutional under Bruin, assuming, of course, we don't reelect Biden and he doesn't either pack or replace some of the conservatives on the court, change the makeup of the court. The trouble is the Supreme Court has other things to do than just handle scores of gun control laws every year. And the people who are drafting these laws on the lower courts are in open rebellion against Heller, McDonald, Bruin. So it's a hot mess. And do I think ultimately these Colorado laws will be found unconstitutional? Yeah, I do. But might that take 6 or 7 years? Yeah. And I don't want to spend 6 or 7 years of my life living under that gun control regime. Not of interest. All right. That looks like all the member questions. Don't go away because I will play the entirety of that video. At least for the members. I think I might stop the live stream for YouTube and Twitter and Rumble, just so I don't get demonetized, in an effort to not be demonetized. let me see if there's any super chats. No. All right, folks. So if you're a law self-defense member, don't go anywhere. Oh, if you are watching on YouTube, I think if you're watching on a mobile device, which I'm told is about half of you on YouTube typically are on a mobile device, my understanding is you can't subscribe or give a thumbs up until you exit the stream. If that's true, or whether or not it's true, a subscribe and thumbs up is always appreciated. You're getting this content for free. And so that's greatly appreciated. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or X, I'm going to end your live streams now. If you're a law self-defense member, don't go anywhere. We'll be about 10 seconds. I'll play the little exit video clip, but we're coming right back. So if you're a law self-defense member, stay right where you are. To everybody else, until next time, remember, if you carry a gun, so you're hard to kill. That's why I carry a gun. So I'm hard to kill. My family's hard to kill. If you do that, you also owe it to yourself and your family to make sure you know the law, so you're hard to convict as well. Until next time, probably Wednesday, I think. I remain attorney Andrew Branca for the Law of Self-Defense. I didn't give myself enough time. There goes YouTube. And Rumble. Whoops. All right. So, now we're just law self-defense members here. And I'm aware that the full length of the video that I'll be sharing with you is available on YouTube. You don't need me to see the whole thing. I'll let them worry about being demonetized. I'm pretty sure I got it from the Police Activity YouTube channel, and I believe they're permanently demonetized. So I'm trying not to share that experience with them. All right, so let's go through the whole video. I cranked it back to the beginning. So we'll see that the gunshot in the first 8 or 10 seconds. And then there's about a little over 3 minutes more. We'll essentially see the officers providing medical care to the suspect and hear what the suspect has to say for himself. So here we go. Now here we go. Just waiting for the warning to get out of the way.
Where are you coming from? Can I see your hands real quick? Oh, shit!
Hey, it's fake!
Shots fired! It's fake!
It's fake. Shots fired. Drop to the ground.
It's fake. It's fake. I promise.
Hands behind your back.
What?
Hands behind your back.
It's fake.
All right, man.
Oh, shit. My whole heart. Fuck.
So you can see he got shot in the wrist or the arm. And he did do kind of a push-up move to get on the ground. So probably not injured too badly. I mean, no gunshot wound is going to be any fun. He's clearly expressing a lot of pain. I will mention that people getting shot in the hands when they're holding a gun is very common because the defensive shooter focuses on the largest threat. The largest threat is the gun, and that ends up being where their rounds go. When I was teaching as an adjunct at the 6-Hour Academy up in New Hampshire, which I did for many years, 10 or 15 years, I was often a participant in simunitions exercises, where simunitions, they use real guns, but they fire little tiny paintballs instead of bullets. So you can do force-on-force kind of training. And very common for students to end up getting shot in the gloves that they were wearing.
Bro, I'm paying for my house, bro. Let's get a medical treatment. Fuck, man.
Listen, I wanted to be safe. I just
Get the cuffs off.
Do I still get my pinky?
Yeah, you
started to
receive Fuck! Please, sir, please.
Relax, man.
Please.
It's fake gun. I promise.
The gun's right there. I was scared, bro.
Hey, tourniquet. Tourniquet now. Tourniquet.
So the suspect starts talking about how he's scared. He'll mention that a cousin of his was recently killed. So he's carrying the fake gun. He's trying to save for personal protection purposes. That's different than the call, of course. We do have a super chat coming. Sorry. And it was too late. I already turned it off. But Stephen Oglesby on YouTube, $20 super chat, says, is that public defender elected or appointed? She has the untenable position. So the state head of the Colorado Public Defender's Office, I believe, is appointed by the governor. The person who sent me the angry letter is just an employee. She's the head of training. She's not the Colorado public defender. She doesn't even do legal work for the office. Again, she coordinated that conference they had me speak at, their annual conference. So, yeah, she should certainly be fired, in my opinion, given her role. I mean, she's supposed to be providing training to all the public defenders in the state of Colorado, and she doesn't know the law.
Where you hit?
My hand. You can't see it? My hand.
Get a tourniquet on his
shot.
Yes.
It's an officer involved.
All right, man. You got to go over there.
Just I'll help you with medical.
One cop told the shooter cop that he had to go over there, go away. He should be going away. They don't like the cop who fired the bullet to stay by the suspect because there may be allegations, especially if there's allegations the shooting was unlawful, that the cop was then committing further harm to the suspect. They like to get him isolated off to the side and let other police provide the first aid.
Oh, my goodness. Please, sir.
You'll be all right, man. It's just in the arm.
I just wanted to be safe. My head.
Hey, someone notify... Radio, this is officer. Bro, please.
So they're putting a TQ on him. They're putting a tourniquet on him, which is not a bad idea. I mean, he's not spurting blood. It doesn't look like. So a tourniquet, you know, you could probably put a press of gauze or put a Israeli bandage around the actual wound, but it doesn't hurt anything to put a TQ. I mean, it'll hurt the suspect. It's painful to have a TQ on your body properly applied. There's a lot of pressure. If it's done properly, but there won't be any long-term harm, and better safe than sorry. And keep in mind, they don't really know for sure what the injuries are, right? They see the hand injury. They don't really know how many shots were fired, even though it's a fellow officer. Even if he told them, I only fired once, he may not remember properly. They could, frankly, have done a better job screening the suspect for further gunshots. There weren't any, but there could have been.
It's gonna hurt.
It's good. I don't got nothing on me.
Now he's gonna crank it.
No, this is just. I'm telling you, this is gonna hurt because I gotta crank this thing.
Cranking the windlass.
Shit. I'm just coming from home. I came from my cousin's funeral and everything. Oh my god.
And that tourniquet could have gone higher up on the arm, too. I mean, you should really get it as high as possible. Yeah, and if you don't have a tourniquet, don't know how to use one, get one and get trained on it. Get a good one. Don't buy them on Amazon. There's a lot of fakes on Amazon. But there's there's a couple of reputable places on the internet you can order a quality tourniquet. And we got a bunch of them at my house, in our cars, at the home, my gun bag, my briefcase here at work. It's got a tourniquet in it.
In this arm. That's all we need. I don't know if they're going to need to get this off.
So Jeffrey in the comments says, simunition still hurt. Yeah, they hurt. They sting. They'll leave a welt for sure. We used to wear many layers of clothes, you know, shirts and sweat jackets and all kinds of stuff. And then it would still hurt. Definitely wear gloves for sure. And if you do get hit in a spot where you don't have adequate cover, you'll get a welt. No question about it.
I don't see anything in his back. You feel like you're hit anywhere else?
Yeah, Denver put in the comments, narescue.com. That's NorthAmericanRescue.com. They make good stuff.
Man.
No, this is my hand. Please, get out.
We got paramedics coming, man.
I'm a good kid, bro. I get A's in school. I play football. I just wanted to be saved. My cousin just died.
All that could be true, right? He could be a good kid, get A's in school, was only carrying the fake gun for well-intentioned purposes. None of that has anything to do with the justification of this officer firing that shot, right? Because the officer's not aware of any of that. At the moment, he has to make the use of force decision.
You'll be all right, man.
You're all right, man.
Get a perimeter set up. Yeah, you're good. Can we get access to that?
Can you roll him over and sit him up? Elevate that hand. Yeah, got the turnkey on. I can't feel my hand. Yeah, I got the turnkey on. I'm not gonna roll. Hey, because you got a turnkey on, man. All right, let's get him up. Go ahead. Can you roll him over on your butt? Can you roll him over on your butt? We're gonna roll you this way. Oh my hand. All right, don't worry about it. It's not gonna just have a seat. Just relax. Hey, just elevate your hand. All right, just elevate it.
My granny lived down the street,
I think he said 14. That's a big 14-year-old. All right, folks, so that's the entirety of the video there. I think that's all I have to share. Let me take a quick look at the comments and see if anything comes in. Denver says, time frame on SCOTUS ruling. SCOTUS will be ruling on these gun laws in 2024 and 2025, so we're in good shape. 10th Circuit is about to take on Ghost Gun ATF. That's not scheduled yet. Yeah, I mean, I'll keep looking, you know. But there's states I can live in where I don't have to worry about this. So Denver says, a few months ago, I was at self-checkout in King Supers in Lakewood, Colorado, when I noticed a shopper with a mostly concealed carry pistol in his waistband. I was appendix concealing myself, kept a close eye on him, did not bother armed security since the shopper was acting normal. It's always surprising to me how many people, when I do see people here in Colorado open carrying, they got just trash holsters. Just that cheap nylon stuff, you know, with the snap, the nylon thumb break. It's just garbage holsters. Looks like it's barely holding the gun in place. Good holsters matter, folks. Jeffrey says, I rarely wear my ankle kit. He's talking about an IFAC. IFAC is an individual first aid kit, IFAK. Too uncomfortable for my job. Bought a belt kit that works for me. Yeah, I have the ankle kit, and I find it too uncomfortable, too. A belt kit, I have one of those as well. Carries the tourniquet like horizontally on the belt. The way I normally dress for work, it's not very convenient. But I'm very rarely more than a couple arms length away from a tourniquet, at least. Big kid, just like Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice was 13 years old when he was shot in Cleveland, Ohio by police because he reached for a gun when approached by police. He was 13 years old and 200 pounds. 200 pounds. He was larger than the average healthy size for an adult male. Big kid. All right, folks. I think I'll wrap this up here. Thank you all for joining me again. I think we'll do, I have some client stuff I have to take care of tomorrow and Tuesday, but I'll plan on being back with the show on Wednesday. And until then, I remain attorney Andrew Branca for the Law of Self-Defense. Stay safe.